If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I've got a few things I want to talk about this morning out of this chapter, and I know it's a storyline that we've heard preached many times, a storyline that we've heard taught in Sunday school many times, but it's an example of what God does that is illogical, inconceivable, most unattainable, unthinkable, and just downright impossible. But God does these things. That's what God does. And starting in verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Mark that word, made. And go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I, and don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, let me speak your words like you want me to speak. Lord, let them be your words, not mine. Lord, let your Holy Spirit take control of me. Anoint these words as they're spoken. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we find here that Jesus is walking on the water. I mean, that's illogical, inconceivable, unattainable, unthinkable, and just downright impossible, right? Now, if one of your fishing buddies was to tell you a story that last night I was out on the lake. I got to tell you this story. I was out on the lake last night, right? Herman, he's a fisherman. I was out on the lake last night, and it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden this guy comes walking by on the water. What would you think? What would you think? You would think Herman had way too many drinks, right? I mean, or you would think the guy that was telling you the story would have had way too many drinks, right? I mean, it's something that's just not logical, right? But it was, you know, that's why the disciples were like, man, that scared them. It scared them. I mean, I would be scared. I really would. I mean, you see something like this, you know? There's a couple points I want to make this morning. And the first thing is in verse 28. We look at verse 28. And I want to go back just a little bit. Jesus has been going through. Let's go back to verse 22. He says, immediately Jesus made these disciples go. He wanted to get away from them for a while. He wanted to go and he wanted to pray. Jesus has been going through. He just fed the 5,000. You know, they just went through all this. And he said, you guys go on. And I wonder, you know, what was he thinking ahead? Was he thinking ahead about what he was going to do? I mean, why would he do this? You know, he could have done this in so many different ways. He could have just appeared on the other side whenever they got to the other shore where they were headed. Why didn't he just wait and just appear over there? He could have done that. Or why didn't he just, I mean, there's so many different ways he could have done this, but why did he do it the way that he did? You know, so, you know, he just fed the 5,000. Prior to that, you know, he just got the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And prior to that, he'd been to his hometown where the people in the town kind of just really were kind of rude to him and told him they didn't have any faith in him. So what they, you know, and he said, okay, if you don't have faith in me, he said, you know, he didn't do any miracles there in his own town because of the lack of faith that they had in him. And so he, you know, he'd been going through all this, and maybe he just wanted to get away and pray. You know, that's important, right? Prayer, it's important. So going through all that, that's just a little background about what was coming up to this point right here. And in verse 28, he said, they see him, and, you know, Jesus, he says, this is, it's me. Take courage. Don't be afraid. It's me. You know, and I think sometimes in our troubled life, we look for that. When we're going through a storm in our life, or when we get scared or terrified of something, we would love to hear Jesus say, don't worry, I'm here. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Wouldn't we love to hear that? I've heard that in my life a few times. I've heard that still, small voice say, don't worry, I'm here, I got you. You know, I thought that was a special moment right there. He said, he's telling his disciples, don't worry, it's just me. It's just me. But the first point I want to make, I got 3 points I want to make. The first point is, we got to ask. First point, verse 28, Peter says, if we want to do something in our life that means something, you follow me? I want to get clear, because sometimes, pray for me this morning. Sometimes we don't want to wait on God. Why was Peter the only one that asked this question? There was 11 others, I guess, with him. There was more in the boat, but Peter's the only one to ask the question. First off, Peter says in verse 28, Lord, if it's you, right off, he replied, tell me to come. In some of the translations, it says, bid me to come, the King James. And then in another translation, it says, command me to come. Peter said, you tell me to come. And the point I want to make here with this is we have to ask sometimes and we don't. You know, we want a new job, we want these things, we want a new house, we want to do something in our life, and we don't ask. We don't ask for direction from God. We want to just do it. We want to just do it on our own. And what Peter is, he's the first thing he's saying, you tell me to come, okay? So, and it wasn't that, what am I trying to say? It's a progressive versus preventative. Now listen to that, progressive versus preventative. In other words, preventative means that we say, God, if you'll give me this, I'll do this. You ever been there? God, if we do that, right? If you do this, God, you know, or if this happens, I'll do this. If this happens, I'll do that. Am I making sense this morning, or am I rambling? Because there's been a lot of times in my life where I would debate with God. Well, Lord, if this happens, then I'll follow you before I got saved, right? If you'll do this, then I'll follow you. If you'll do this, then I'll go there. Sometimes it's, you follow what I'm saying? Who else has been there? Somebody's got to be there. You get my point, okay? And then there's the progressive part of it, whereas, okay, God, I'm not going to do anything. Now listen to me. I'm not going to do anything until you tell me to do it. This is where Peter was. I'm not getting out of this boat, God, unless you tell me to get out of this boat. Listen, that's where we need to be, right? That's where we need to be, because when God says, get out of the boat, then that means things can happen that are impossible, inconceivable, illogical, unthinkable. Listen to me this morning. It's when we do the other. It's when we do the other. The preventative thing is when things just fall apart all the time. It's inconsistent. It just gets messed up, because you know what? God's not like that. God's not like that, because God is illogical sometimes. God is inconceivable. He's unattainable sometimes even. Because we can't think like Him. We are not, and sometimes we want to. Understand what I'm saying this morning? I hope you get this morning with what he put on me here. The second point I want to make is Peter accepted it. Peter accepted it. How many times in your life has God spoke to you and you've accepted it? That's what we don't want to do sometimes. You know, God wants to do, and I've preached this before, God wants to do great things in each one of our lives. Don't ever think that God cannot use you to do something. And sometimes we don't feel like we're qualified. Sometimes we don't feel like that we're the right person. Sometimes we don't feel like that we, you know, that's not me. I'm not that person. I can't do this. See, we make all these excuses up why we can't do this. God will tell you to go pray with somebody, or God will tell you to go do this or go do that. And you're like, I can't do that. That's not me. That's somebody, you know, I'm not that person. I can't do that. I'm not qualified. You follow me? How many times have you debated that in your life? I've debated it in my life. And I'm not saying this. I've done this. I'm guilty of every bit of this, because when I preach to myself all the time. I was like, you know, I've been this person. I'm this person at times. Because there's times that God's put something on me and I say, Lord, I can't do that. Or Lord, I'm not qualified for that. But you know what? God does those things in our lives. And when we do accept it, and when we do listen, and we don't put any, you know, we just say, Lord, okay, I'm going to do this, but you're going to have to give me everything it's going to take to make this happen. And I'm not going to do it unless you tell me. And then he tells you to do it, and you go do it. What happens? Something impossible happens sometimes. You get to talk to somebody and lead them to Christ that would have never got led to Christ before because you were willing to do it. Come on now. I've seen people get led to Christ by certain people that other people were more qualified, you would think, to go speak to them. But yet it was somebody else that went and talked to them that just spoke the words that needed to be spoken at the right time, at the right place, did the right thing, and brought them to Christ. I'm telling you, God does sometimes some things, and He does some incredible things at times through us. Maybe you're the one to walk on water next. You ever think about that? What's unconceivable, isn't it? You would never think that I can step out of a boat and walk on water. You would never think that. Some of us would just sink right straight to the bottom, wouldn't we? I'm gone. You know, God has this way of choosing people. And we, like I said, I can go back and look at the scriptures. God has a way of choosing people that are just not logically the right person. You know, like I said, with David and many others through the scripture, it just wasn't logical for him to use that person. And then here's Peter. Here's Peter. Why is Peter illogical? Because he's just a fisherman, right? He has no education. He's just a poor fisherman. You know, he could have used the other guy that was the tax collector, probably a little smarter maybe, or the lawyer, or maybe one of the others in the boat. But Peter's the only one that had the faith enough. Now listen, Peter's the only one that had the faith enough to believe, I don't know, maybe it's just, maybe it just takes dumb old hillbillies sometimes to get it, you know, to have the right kind of faith sometimes, I think. Not, you know, because sometimes I think He uses those people sometimes to do things that are the impossible things, and I don't know, maybe it's wishful thinking on my part, dumb old hillbilly, you know. But God has used me in ways, and I have to say this out of, this is my testimony, because there's been times in my life when I have not been capable, not had the right education, not had this or not had that, to do the things that I have accomplished at times, and not big things, not major things, but little things. And the only way they got accomplished was because God showed me how. Does that make sense? And I think each one of us, if you're faithful to God, you'll see those little things. He'll show you. You'll do something. You're like, man, I could have never done that. God, thank you. You gave me the ability to do that. All wisdom comes from where? What's the scripture say? all wisdom comes from God. Our faith, we have to believe that. You know, I think Peter's the only one, he's the one that got it. Because none of the others said, Peter, you go first and I'll follow you. They didn't say that. They didn't say, I'm right behind you. You didn't hear them arguing about, no, Peter, you're not going, I'm going. They wasn't arguing about it. The only one that is ever mentioned in there is Peter. Peter's the only one that stepped out of the boat. He's the only one. I don't know why. I don't know why. Did they have lack? It was a lack of their faith? A lack of faith? You know, God uses people to operate in faith and by faith. That's what I'm getting at. Faith is a big thing. I mean, where's your faith at this morning? I mean, is it really a true faith that you believe that the Word, that God could use you or God could use somebody else next to you to do something that's unthinkable, unconceivable, impossible at times for His will? You know, God does things, you know, crazy things sometimes. You know, like He put Nebuchadnezzar, He brought him up to take over Judah. I mean, and the reason I'm saying this is because here in this country, tying all this together, we see this rise of evil. It's happening. I'm just telling the truth. You guys know I'm not speaking out of line. There's this rise in this world of this evil that's coming on, and then we see people that get raised up, you know, that you know, supposed to be give us a choice to even vote for, and we sit there and we think, okay, I've got to vote for these two people. Now, who am I going to vote for? And then you end up voting for the best of the two evils, you know, or whatever. You know, you try to think, well, who am I going to vote for? Because neither one of them really I would vote for or would think this is the person I want to be in control of, you know, the country or wherever. But you know what? The Scripture tells us that God puts people in power who He wants in power to do the job He wants them to do. Okay. And when we look at Daniel, and the things that he went through. He endured it all. He learned it all. But you know what? He was there in Babylon for 72 years in the most evil place. Talked about, and it's even talked about in Revelations, how Babylon will finally, evil will finally be destroyed in the book of Revelations when you look at the prophecy. And the reason, you know, Daniel goes through this for 72 years. But in his 72 years as there, he had led three revivals in that country. It's amazing. Okay? But you know what? We think sometimes just because a certain person gets in power that it's over. It's done. World's had it. But you know, God's got it all. And when we look at the end, God's got it. Okay? That's where our faith is. That's the point I'm trying to make. Where's your faith? Is your faith in the things that go on around you in this world, the things that are inconceivable, impossible, unthinkable, or those are the things that, you know, all this evil stuff that goes on, or is your faith in Jesus Christ? Okay? He's the one that allows all this stuff to happen. I don't want to get off track, and I think I am a little bit. The last thing is Peter acted. He acted on the Word. Okay? So the first thing is he waited on the Word. He waited on Jesus to tell him, okay, do this. The second thing is he accepted what Jesus had said. And the third thing is he acted on what Jesus said. And that's a very important part. And because then he got out of the boat. How many of us are willing to get out of the boat? Are you willing to do it? Sometimes I think we just go through the motions. We have this emotional connection to church. We have this emotional connection that we got to go to church, and that's good. You know, we don't want to forsake the assembly of ourselves. We come to church, and we do our church thing. We sing some songs, and we hear some preaching, and sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's not so good preaching. And sometimes you're like, well, I don't know what I got out of that. It was messed up, but you go home and you think about all these things, and then you get up, you come back to church on Sunday night, and then you do Wednesday night, and then you come and you work at the church, and you do all these things. But do you ever get out of the boat? You follow what I'm saying? Or is it just something you go through? Do you ever just get out of the boat and listen and say, what's he telling us to do? You know, I've been preaching on this for the last several weeks about the mission of the church and about what we're supposed to be doing as a church and what, you know, my heart's desire is evangelism and getting out and, you know, in that, because that's what Jesus left, this great commission. He said, and he didn't say, you guys, when you get time, when you're not painting in the basement looks great, I'm telling you, the children's that area, and that's great beneficial stuff that we got to do. But did we ever think about, when you get time, go witness to somebody. Get out of the boat. When you get time, go pray with somebody. Get out of the boat. You ever think about that? All this other stuff has to be done. Don't get me wrong. And it does. It all has to be done. But we got to get out of the boat in our everyday life. You know, Mark was like, he's got one day left, I think, in the week that he's not got something going on. You know what you said? I'm kind of the same way right now because, you know, we got church on Sunday. I've got, you know, Tuesday nights. I've drive to Effingham for classes. That's a pretty good drive. You know, and then I have my classes through there, and then I work through the week, and then we have Wednesday nights, you know, and then we have Bible study now on Friday nights, and then we come to church. My week's pretty full. And then somewhere in the middle, I've got a family somewhere. Well, you know, but through all that, you know, I have to focus at times on getting out of the boat. And this hit me, you know. I know I've read this story a dozen times, and I think I got to get out of the boat. I got to be out there doing stuff. I have to. That's where my heart is. That's my desire. I'm really not. It's hard for me sometimes because I know what I need to do. But do you know what you need to do? See, that's where that personal relationship comes from. You know, he puts it on each individual, not just on, you know, not for me to tell you. I'm here, you know, I can read the scripture, which is what I should do. I got to read it accurately. I got to, you know, tell the word, teach it. But I can't take people by the hand and say, you need to do this. This is what I do. You need to do this. This is what I do. This is what I do. Because that may be not what God wants you to do. That's what he wants me to do. He wants me to do what he's telling me to do. You have to do what God's telling you to do. Right? God told Peter to get out of the boat. It's time for us to get out of the boat. It's time for us to be willing to ask, God, help me do the impossible. Because he will. He'll. You ask, and he says, you ask, and you shall receive, right? We have to accept his word as being the truth. I say this over and over again. What's written right here in this word is the truth. Sometimes I think we want to thumb through it and find certain things that work for us and certain things that don't work for us. We turn the page. Didn't like that one. That one made me get out of the boat. Let's see. Let's go over here and look at this other one. Yeah, that one might work. Huh? I see a lot of that. I see a lot of that. I've been guilty of it myself. But God, he's shown me things in my life. He's showing me more and more every day. You know, I want to be the one who gets out of the boat. I want to be that Peter does. You know, and Peter wasn't perfect. I mean, here Peter denies him three times, right? We know what Peter does. Peter's not perfect. But Peter seemed to always be willing. And God chose him. I mean, we talked about Peter here just recently about, he said, on this rock I'll build my church. Why was it Peter? Why was it Peter? Was it because of his faith and he was willing to get out of the boat at the time? I hope the word is spoken to you this morning because, you know, this is what God gave me this morning to speak to you. I do encourage you, get out of the boat. Read your scripture. Let God work through you. I mean, we've got a job to do in such a wicked place. We can do some impossible things. We can do some incredible things. We can do some unthinkable things at times. That's what God called His church to do. That's what God called His church to do. But we all have to be willing. I'm going to be honest with you. You usually got about 10% of your church that does all the work. It's just the truth. About 10% of your church does all the work. This church, I see about 20% plus. We have some good people in this church. I won't be disrespectful to anybody. We got some good workers in this church, some good loving people. I love this church. Got some good workers here. But when you look at the statistics, you know, when you read statistics and you look at all that, it says the majority of churches have about 10% of the people that do all the work. That kind of makes me think a little bit, you know? Kind of makes me think a little bit. Am I part of that 10%? Am I really doing what I should be doing? You know, I think about myself. I can't judge anybody else. Shouldn't anyway. If I judge somebody else, I bring judgment on myself. So I got to pull that log out of my eye if I'm going to pick sawdust out of somebody else's, right? We talked about that. But the thing is I want to encourage you guys. Let's get out of the boat. Let's be the church. Let's get out and do things that are incredible, unthinkable. They got to line up with the Word, though. Paul says, I became all things to all people so that I might win some. That means he got out of the boat. I mean, he got out there and he done stuff. You know, he became a Roman. He became a Greek. He became a Jew. He, in other words, he got in people's lives. That's what he meant by that. He got involved with people so he might win some. He knew he couldn't get them all. But you know what? If I get some, and you 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 get some, look where we're at. That's how you impact a community. That's how you grow a church. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. Lord, I just spoke what you told me to say. Lord, I leave it in your hands. Lord, it's your word. Lord, I pray for this church, Lord, that, Lord, you, not only for me, Lord, help me get out of the boat more. Lord, I'm your humble servant, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for the things that I haven't done. But Lord, give me the wisdom and strength to do the things that I know you want me to do. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I honor you this morning. And Lord, I just want to, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, I just ask that you send your Holy Spirit to them, Lord, and let them know how much you love them. And Lord, if there's some that maybe haven't been getting out of the boat like they should, Lord, that encourage them, give them wisdom, guidance, and direction. Lord, I praise you this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, as we leave here today, Lord, I just ask for safe travels and, Lord, help us when we're in the world, when we're out here in this evil place, Lord, that we might be good stewards and be good witnesses, be good that we represent this church. in the way that you'd want us to represent this church. Oh, God. I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name.